says his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of
Al's house, we're back. Ethan, Rocco, Jack, no producer Greeny this week. Before we get into it, take care of some quick housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us at Al's house. I'm at Ethan GSN, Jack at Al's Den, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. And what is Greeny's handle? At eGreenberg99. Did I nail it?
I think so.
Yeah. Did I nail
Might
it?
Might be an underscore in there?
No underscore. No underscore. No underscore? I know that for a fact. All right.
Okay.
It's been about a week and a half since our last episode. Blown leads, Lou versus Wah, injuries, Simon Holmstrom breakout. A lot to get into. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're how doing, we doing boys? Well. Pretty routine after another couple blown leads. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. I feel like we're in the same sick cycle, but we're here to talk about it. We're going to keep talking about it. They keep blowing it or find a way to fix things. We're just going to keep chugging along over here.
Yeah. That's what well, we do you know what I'll house. Say? I'm happy that a number of people on Islanders Twitter have at least made money off of this.
Oh my
this
God.
Trend. It's Jack like, included, Mr. BR Ice, Mr. BR Betting.
Not a bet I wanted to take, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And I figured, you know what? I'll lose my own money for this team, but they wouldn't even let me lose my own money. And I'm glad a lot of people got to profit off of that. This fan base is definitely getting smarter by the day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's hedging your happiness. I feel like we do it all the time in different ways. So
the sort of season it's been, huh?
Yeah.
So gotta congrats hedge our to happiness. Those. That's where we're at.
Yeah. So congrats to those who are at least profitable on the Islanders' ineptitude.
We got a little bit of a way to go because I'm still trying to catch up from that Varlamov Vezina bet.
Yeah.
At least you didn't put too many units on that one, right?
No, small units.
Yeah, small units. Always there. Small. So you're good.
All right, so since we last recorded, it's been a number of games. We're only going to go through the last few. Technically, Boston wasn't a blown lead because it was 3-3, but blown lead against Capitals, and then two games prior, blown lead against the Red Wings, and then two games prior to that, another blown lead against the Red Wings. So there's a trend here. I guess let's just start with that generally. What are your thoughts on the blown leads?
A lot. First of all, like in football, it's a good way to describe it, how they say like a good team is a complementary team, and the Islanders will have nights where they start scoring, they'll put up three, they'll put up four, and then it happens to be an off night for Sorokin or Varlamov. And then when the Islanders can't score, then Sorokin and Varlamov are both lights out and we end up losing the game 2-1. So finding a way that this team can fire on all cylinders, I feel like it's been a big missing piece. And, you know, it's just weird. I know Barzal and Duclair and Pelech all aren't here, but this has been a theme for a year, more than a year even. And I just don't know where the help is coming. I have a hard time saying it's on coaching just because obviously this happened under Lambert. It's continued under Wah. It may be even worse under Wah. Just is extremely frustrating. You can't even get excited when the team is up 4-2 at the end of two periods, 2-0 at the end of two. You just know you're going to have to sit there and absolutely pray. Literally, we're up 4-2 in Washington the other night, and Anders leaves, had a great season, takes a penalty 5 seconds in, like, and the Capitals score. You just really can't make it up. And, you know, then the Capitals win it 5-4, and it's one of those nights where I mentioned before, you get the offense, but you don't get the defense or goaltending. And it's just been extremely frustrating.
Yeah. And I mean, Jack went with the football analogy. I'm going to go with baseball. This team has the yips. They get to the third period and it's, I don't care what anyone says, it's mental. It is. They're human. When they get to the third and they have this lead, let's say it's a 3-1 lead. The second it goes 3-2, you can't tell me they're not thinking about it. They're thinking about it. It's been an issue, like Jack said, for so long now that it's so far into their mental that they can't even help it. As fans, we feel it. You watch it by the way they play. It's all mental at this point, and they can't break through. It's just like this crazy thing.
They're late stage Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, exactly. It's just they can't figure it out. And it's not the coach, it's the roster. You know what I mean? It's these guys that are out there playing. As we always say, a coach can only do so much. And what's the common denominator at this point? It's not Lambert, it's not Wah, it's the guys that are on the ice. So it's very frustrating as a fan. And like we were saying before, it's getting kind of comical that people are making profits off it, but it's ugly. And you just hope it gets better, but you know, that's all it is hope, because I don't see how it can get better because they constantly do it. Whether guys are healthy, guys are hurt, you know, this mix of players, it's all mental.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. I am disappointed that we all sort of agree here with what the issue is, but it's the common denominator, which is the roster. And it's a roster which we know the head coach and the GM don't see eye to eye on. They didn't see eye to eye on it weeks ago. There were some even more recent comments made by Patrick Waugh about the roster and some of these decisions. So I agree. I think it's mostly mental with this team. I know a lot of people on Twitter, mostly the Lou stans, seem to be taking it all out on Wah. But again, like you can harp on the lack of aggression at some points later in the game where the team gets, you know, they're back on their heels and they're not really pressing forward a lot. But it seems mental. It really does. I don't really know what else to say. And like Jack said, you know, they'll put up 4 or 5 one day and they won't get the goaltending, or they'll get the goaltending and they'll only score one goal. The one thing I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about here is the narrative from the positive side of Islanders Twitter seems to be that all they need to do is hold on until Barzal's back and Duclair's back and Pellick's back. Now, I'm not going to fault you for looking at it that way, but how have they been treading water? Nelson and Palmieri. That's pretty much it. That second line. Lee has chipped in. Pageau's been okay. But again, you're getting this production from the older folks on your roster who historically have been very, very streaky. Andrews had a down year last year. It's great to see him bounce back, but does anyone believe that it's sustainable? We know that Brock is streaky. No one thinks that this is sustainable. Same thing with Palmieri. Last year, he scored 30 goals. He stayed healthy. Again, is that sustainable? I don't think so. So even if Barzal and Duclair come back and they're productive, like, the way I'm thinking is like, do people truly believe that to be supplemental to production from guys who historically have not done this for a long period of time? Or are, like Jack said, right? Like one day you get the goaltending and you don't get the scoring and vice versa. Like these guys come back and they're productive. Does the second and third line, like, do those guys stay productive or do they fall off? And like, to me, I see them falling off. Which is why, again, like you can't just keep telling me, oh, they're in it, they're in it, they're in it. Just wait for them to get healthy. You just can't, I'm sorry, you just can't fool me.
And you got to keep in mind too, like as great as a guy like Lee has been, when all the guys are back, he's getting a lot less minutes, right? So he's eating into those Barzal minutes, Duclair minutes, whomever else. So it's not by his fault, but just by the numbers game, he will be putting up a bit less just by playing 5 less minutes a night. So that's part of it as well. And listen, I think the scariest part for me is I think when everyone gets healthy, this team goes from being a bottom 10 team to right back where they were, which is mid, which is a borderline playoff team, which is the exact spot you probably don't want to be with a roster built the way it currently is. As Ethan said, a lot of these guys are getting up there. Their main contributors are up there. You could argue Barzal, Horvat, Sorokin, these guys are in their prime. True. But I don't see this roster improving enough unless there's an influx of young talent. And do any of us see that coming anytime soon? They don't really have it. We look at Bridgeport. There's not, you know, right now would be the perfect time to call some of these guys up. So if they're not calling them up now, it doesn't show a ton of confidence either. So it doesn't look like we have much in the cupboard as well. So it's a tough situation, and it's been a tough situation, and it feels like it will continue to be a tough situation until there's a point where someone finally rips a Band-Aid off. And I don't know if it's going to be at the deadline or at the end of the season or 2 years down the road, but at some point it just has to come. At least that's my point of view.
I hate to say that I agree with Ethan, but what are the odds that Nelson and Palmieri are still they're still humming,
no,
and then Barzal and Duclair come back and they start humming, and then it's all perfect? Like, no way that happens.
Palmieri, would we say Palmieri is a little streaky too? Not to the Brock extent.
Yeah,
I think he's a little more.
Yeah,
I think he's a bit more consistent because when he's not scoring, maybe he's a bit more effective than Brock. If that's fair, he's a little grittier.
Gets in the
corners
a little
more. He makes the right play.
Smart
player, tough player. But they're both streaky in their own ways.
And it makes sense because they play together.
Absolutely. And Siplikov's getting acclimated to the NHL. So there's only so much he could do to aid that.
There's one take I can buy from people saying help is on the way. And that's the fact that Noah Dobson has 10 points in 25 games. Maybe when Barzal and Duclair come back, has 10 points, 25 games. I said that correct? You guys made a face of shock, so I wasn't sure. But
I'm making a face because he's been terrible. If help is on the way by way of Dobson, I mean get the mock drafts out.
Well, so what I was saying though is like since Barzal and Duclair are going to come back, maybe that can get him going a little bit because a lot of Dobson's assists and points are.
Are you calling him a Barzal merchant?
He might be a Barzal merchant. Yeah,
I stole an Ethan line there.
He's a Barzal merchant. He literally just gets all his points by passing to Barzal in the power play.
Yeah, all right, now that Jack brought it up, I just want to talk Dobson briefly because I feel like he's kind of a polarizing figure within the fan base.
But I will say I feel like more and more people are finally on team trade Dobson. I've seen that take flying around way more liberally these days.
Yes, and I think, it's for me right now with Dobson, if you decide not to trade him and he continues on this downward trajectory, the value is going to be shot. So that's the other end of it. If this is just the player he is, there's not going to be much value if it keeps running this way. If you were to shop him sometime soon, I think there's a lot of value. But I think other teams are going to soon come to the realization that if this kid doesn't step up, it just might not really be there. And the 70 points might have been the outlier.
Yeah, I agree. But maybe, I don't know. Like Jack said, maybe like Barzal comes back and he starts racking up secondary assists. And like, again, like
are
if you get late,
are you becoming a Dobson apologist?
No, I'm just saying it's like if him stat padding leads to increasing his trade value, by all means, give him ice time.
But
let him get these secondary assists when they're out of the playoff contention. Play him fucking 27 minutes, and I don't care.
But I mean, in reality, if he starts playing better, do we see him being shopped or do we see him being extended? Because the reality I'm seeing, I think he would just simply be extended.
Again, that all boils down to who's here next year and who's not in the management side of things.
Yes. And the direction they decide to take closer to the deadline, I suppose.
The thing is with Dobson is the people that defend him on Twitter, and God, I got caught in this thread that is literally 2 weeks old from the Kraken game. And these guys are arguing.
That's how it goes.
You can just mute it, Jack.
Yeah, no, I need to mute it, but I have my notifications muted, so I should go in there and mute that chat somehow or that thread. Anyway, one of the big defenses is that Dobson is 24 years old, but at some point, dude, I just haven't seen him get better at the things that I had an issue with, and it's just basic defending. And when that doesn't get better and suddenly you have 10 points in 25 games, it's like, all right, if someone wants to pay a premium to get this player, something isn't working here to begin with. We're 9-10-6, and the last few years have shown us, even when he drops 70 points, like, where is that getting us? So I have to admit I'm turning over to the dark side a little bit on him.
The crazy part, too, I think people forget with that 70-point season, is he was on pace for way more. And
yeah,
then he
fell
the last, what was it, the last 20 games or so?
You know why? Because the coaching
off.
Change. The coaching change. I think
no, because that was somewhat early, wasn't it? That was like mid-season?
January. It was late January when Wah came in. And that's like right after the stadium series is when it got really bad. And I think they started changing how they were deploying him a little bit, playing him less minutes. And, naturally his point total dropped. I think the right word is his
They
point
also
total.
Took him off power play one.
And they put like Riley, correct?
Yeah.
It's like an inefficient scorer.
Well, that's my thing with Dobson too. If he can't be power play one QB, there's an issue for me. Because he's not good
He can't.
defensively, but he's not good
He's not good
defensively.
defensively.
So
He's
how do you
not an
argue he's an.
he's not a good skater.
But that's what I mean. So how do you argue he's a top number one Norris-like defenseman if he can't quarterback
Delusion.
power play one, and clearly he's not great defensively? That's my thing with him. Because everyone loves to clap back
Delusion.
with right-handed defensemen, this age, this height. And I'm sorry, it
No,
doesn't
no,
matter
no.
if you're
70-point
6'4", if you
defensemen
don't touch
don't grow on
anybody.
trees.
Well, that,
Random,
and
really
also,
random.
my opinion, as a defenseman's a little different than forward, because people would use this argument with Engvall, like, oh, he's 6'5", and he doesn't touch anybody. You know, you're a forward, you're trying to skate around guys, whatever else. I don't know how many times I've seen guys just get in on our goalie, and Dobson just, like, doesn't care to just wrap someone up or push someone or just like be somewhat physical. You don't have to go knock someone on their ass like a Romanov, but just a little bit of physicality wouldn't kill you as a defenseman.
What's
Millennial
funny
take
is, like,
from
two
me,
kids in a
but
trench coat.
I was watching a Columbus Blue Jackets game recently. Don't even ask why, but Zach
That is some
Werenski,
sicko behavior.
their I agree, it really is. But Zach Werenski,
You just love Columbus.
their power play QB. I mean, you can't blame me. Went to school there. Go Bucks. Not going to talk about yesterday. But Werenski, this guy, like, I just watch him play, and he's so good on the power play. Like, he's always making plays in the offensive zone, and like, he's not the best defender, but I just think like that's like what Dobson is supposed to be, and I just don't see him getting there. And watching him
Well,
just
how is
frustrating.
Werenski skating?
Great.
Exactly. That's the difference. The head fake. Even on when he's on the power play, you don't see much head fakes. You don't see much creativity. It's kind of just like whipping it around status quo. There's nothing that, at least as of late, that wows me with it.
Yeah, like it just doesn't feel like anything's gonna happen. He's not gonna create
He's not
much.
a threat. It's not a threat. It doesn't
Yeah,
feel that way.
that's the right way to say it. But we can move off Dobson for a little bit now, since we just ripped him apart for a good 10 minutes.
Okay, sure. Back to the blown leads. All right, so we're all in agreement it's more roster based than coaching.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, so then let's transition that into Lou versus Wah part deux.
What do you guys think the more aggressive thing was, the post game or scratching Pierre Engvall?
Ooh.
Oof. I would say Engvall, just because that's like fucking with the guy's playing time and maybe a little bit of psyche and whatnot. And I don't think maybe the game right before he wasn't great, but overall, since he's been a regular in the lineup again, I think he's been pretty solid. He's
That's
been
the
effective,
thing.
right? And I said that, and people were like, oh, he was terrible last game, this and that. But that was also a game I didn't think many guys were great. And I could name, I think the whole fourth line should have been scratched before him. I don't think any of those guys look good, including McLean. And yes, the McLean situation could be his wingers, but I thought all of them could take a health bomb before Pierre, to be quite honest.
So I agree that Pierre is better to have on the ice than all of those players, but the last few games before he got scratched, he did disappear a little bit, and he was going to go into his usual Engvall, let's disappear for a month and a half and not drive to the net or be aggressive. And I like that Wah scratched him, surprisingly, in hindsight, because now I realize like he's trying to wake him up again, because when he Engvall actually only responds to this. And I wish it didn't have to be like this. I don't know if Wah tries talking to him, have a meeting with the guy, and say, Pierre, I'm going to scratch you again if you keep playing like shit. And it's different when he plays like shit, because it just looks like it's a lack of focus all the time with him. And like he forgets, like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to play. So I don't mind that. But yeah, there's no argument to be made that he's worse than what we're throwing out there some nights, every night.
I think there's probably two different conversations to be had here. And they both revolve around Patrick Waugh's frustration in regards to roster construction. I don't think anyone would debate that. He's made comments publicly about, you know, Lou this, Lou that, Lou thought that. Like, it's no surprise, right? And Pierre Engvall is obviously a player that Waugh is not fond of. And I think he probably thought that coming here, he was not thought, but he was told that he would have more say in the personnel than he's been given. And I don't think it's anyone surprised that Lou either reneged on his word or is acting a bit more.
Couldn't get a deal done.
What would the correct phraseology be? Dictatorially, Lou acting. Dictorially, is that a
I
thing?
think
Is
that
that
would be correct.
okay? Let's roll with that. Lou
Yeah.
acting more dictorially.
Mussolini.
Yeah, Mussolini, exactly. Thank you. That was a
Yeah, that's what
almost
you were
got
looking
that one.
for.
Yeah. So again, like I have no issue with him benching Engvall. The problem is he also doesn't like Martin. And I feel like
Law doesn't?
correct.
I don't think
Really?
any NHL no disrespect to Matt Martin. We've spoken ad nauseum about Martin. Great career, respected. Seems like an absolutely great dude from everything I've heard. But like I don't think any head coach in 2024 would love Matt Martin on his roster every night.
Right. And like again, it's at the expense of other guys like, who I'm sure was not so fond of, but maybe fit the system better, like Fasching or Gauthier or like any of these other young Bridgeport guys. Like we've seen how much better Isaiah George is being called up than he was in Bridgeport. It's like even I would rather see Alex Jeffries up here than like Matt Martin or some of these other guys. So
I will say, I think I have a theory on Martin. I think that while Duclair and Barzal are out, they know that he's not going to play much once they do. And this is the only time that they can justify letting him eat the games that will get him to 1,000. So they're
That's
just,
country club though.
it is.
It's country club,
No,
and I don't
no
I'm sorry,
denying
but
it.
I disagree. I don't think that that's logic that they're employing in this situation. I'm more of the opinion that Wah scratching Engvall for Martin is a fuck you to Lou, where like, all right, I'm scratching one guy that I didn't want, and I'm gonna play a guy that you forced on me that I really didn't want, and I'm gonna show you.
And oh, by the way, the guy I'm scratching has 5 more years left after this one.
Right.
Oh my God.
It's like,
When you say it like
again,
that, it hurts. It's so bad.
it sounds real stupid and it sounds petty, but like, I
I
don't,
think there's pettiness going on.
there's a ton of pettiness and I'm curious. I would love, again, like, kudos to me for engaging our listeners right now. But like, if the listeners could respond to us on Twitter and just ask us or let us know what they think, like, am I crazy right now? I don't think I am, given what
No.
I've heard, given what I've told everyone, and given just strictly the comments from Patrick Waugh in his post games and the frustration that he has displayed publicly. Like, I would not put it past him to just be frustrated with the roster.
And I
Like, he didn't
think
leave coaching kids in fucking Quebec, where he
to
had
coach
say
old men.
in everything, to just be bossed around by a guy who's on his deathbed.
Probably feels like he went from juniors to men's league right now.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
But I think in regards to Wah too, he's one of the few guys in a coaching role right now that probably has the cojones, for lack of a better term, to actually do this to Lou. Like, as a player, he's one of the best players of all
I
time. He's
agree.
a Hall of Famer in his own right. Like Lane Lambert would not do this.
Well, he sees the vision.
He sees the vision and he just probably knows by now, listen, it's not working. We need to change things. And I'm sure there was attempts in the offseason to change things and maybe ship one veteran out with picks or prospects or whatever
I mean, I
and
know
try
for a
to
fact
land
that
a
there
guy.
were. You
There
guys know
were.
for a fact that
We
they
know.
tried.
Ehlers, Pinto, whoever it was, that there was efforts, and I obviously was not stupid. He knows it's not a perfect world and it's not going to always work out that way. It's just like last minute signing Martin. I feel, and I think we heard at one point, Ethan, correct me if I'm wrong, that he really likes Foodie, I'm pretty sure. And they dumped Foodie to Bridgeport relatively early. I'd rather see Foodie on the fourth line than Oliver
Yeah.
Wahlstrom, who we haven't even spoken about him, who stinks. I'm
And
sorry,
again, look at that,
I'm done with
and
him.
that's one that I'll pin that's pinned exclusively on Wah. Like Wah is a
That
Wahlstrom guy.
so now let's do this. So we have this Lou and Wah feud. Let's like draw the line in the sand, like who's on what side? Because we think like Martin's Lou side, Engvall's Lou side, Wahlstrom, I think to the
Wah.
surprise of many would be Wah's side,
That's Wah. Can I
correct?
just say one thing?
Go ahead, Jack.
I'm so tired of this. On my Twitter recently, some of these Islander fans, they're rightfully frustrated with Wahlstrom, but I cannot stand when people are like, oh my God, he's worse than Martin. He's got to be scratched. Like, no, like, you don't understand. Martin should not even be like anywhere near this
Yeah, but
team right now. Like, there is a
neither of them should be on the
substantial,
roster. It's done.
Wahlstrom is 24 years old. The guy has a career in front of him. Like, it's just so different comparing
I
those
think
two. And
the
there's
difference is
times. There's times where Wahlstrom, though, is on the forecheck. I've seen this with my own eyes. He'll get in there, he'll get deep. He's a bad skater. And the puck will be sitting there and he needs support. And 10 seconds later, you see Martin come in there and hit someone. And it's like, all right, like now this guy has to skate all the way back, which he's horrible. It's not the best situation for him.
Well, this is the issue of the fourth line wings. You have Matt Martin, who they're hoping to get what he used to be, and you have Oliver Wahlstrom, where they're trying to get what he never was. And it's both of them could go. Both of them could go tomorrow, and I'd be completely fine with it. Even if they went for Karlstrom and Foodie, give me a couple guys who could skate. Give me a couple guys with skill, because it's just not working. And I know a lot of people have said to me, probably once these other wingers get back, logic would tell you those are the two guys to get. Martin probably is going to be the extra forward, and then maybe Wahlstrom gets waived, but it's just hard to watch right now. As a fan,
Very.
it's just the same thing over and over and over. And I know the options aren't plentiful, but it's frustrating. It really is. Because I just don't think these are guys that should be on an NHL roster right now. Injuries or not.
All right, moving on. Post game comments, do we want to touch on those specifically or no?
Well, we kind of did.
Yeah, because it was basically just him saying it's Lou's roster, correct?
All right, moving on. Injuries. I got nothing. Only new injury would that I have knowledge on is Pageau. It is a hamstring. That's all I know.
And then we know through Steph, Duclair, and Pelech are skating. So they're the closest to return.
I'm surprised Barzal's still like not skating even.
He might be, they just don't have to report it.
Oh, well, we think it's a wrist injury or arm, so
Well, I
that's
didn't
kind
say
of
that,
tough.
Jack, but
somewhere near
okay.
there. Somewhere near there.
Wrist.
I'm
Okay,
not
fine.
going to hand it to you, but somewhere near there.
Yeah, sure. I believe I had said upper body, non-head
Yeah,
injury, but
we
sure,
keep it
Jack. Well,
UBI, LBI for the most part here, and Jack just likes to blow up
UBI.
this spot.
Yeah,
Oh,
no, that
man.
no, that's okay. Yeah, hand or wrist.
Coming
No
off a
idea if he
tough
got
Buckeyes
surgery,
loss,
but
he gets a free pass.
yeah, it's
oh,
fine.
man.
Yeah, although it's funny is my wife has now started going UBI or LB for if I get if one of us gets hurt. So anyway, for that tomfoolery. So Pageau hamstring. All right. Maybe the most polarizing player on the New
In our
York
group chat,
Islanders.
yeah.
Jack's most hated Islander.
Ooh, that's it.
Simon Holmstrom.
Wow, can't believe there's a rat. You just let it all out.
It was pretty obvious.
Well,
It was obvious, but you could have, maybe there were a couple people believing it was one of the others.
The funniest part about it is I tweeted something really similar. I forgot that I tweeted it like 2 hours before the screenshot dropped, and I was like, oh, I'm toast here.
I loved Styles' tweet with like Simon Holmstrom since Jack's talking shit. It's just like LeBron doing 360 dunks and stuff.
It's literally what happened. I mean, I started roasting this guy, then two back-to-back 2-goal games.
Start roasting a
Actually,
couple other guys, Jack.
no, it's
I mean, listen,
unbelievable.
maybe you got to keep it up.
And
Maybe it's a Noah Dobson situation.
sometimes, like, I don't like to be critical on players because stuff like this happens, but honestly, it's pretty funny. Yeah, with him, he's earned his respect.
Oh,
I have to
stop.
watch my mouth when I'm talking about Simon Holmstrom right now.
Do we think this is a turning point, or do we think this
No,
is a little bit of streakiness?
I can't talk on this
You
because,
could talk
bro.
on it. You have to talk on it.
Well,
He had
like,
back-to-back 2-goal games. Last year, he had a gazillion shorthanded points.
yeah.
Like, he is the king of
He's a
non-sustainability.
compiler.
No, not even a
No, the
compiler. He's
opposite of a compiler, actually. He's just the fuck.
the king of non-sustainability. His
Yeah,
next goal
he's.
is going to be in March. Like, I'm not worried.
Like, I don't even, how would you even describe him? It's just like he has this weird
There's not a
weak,
single thing that he does that is elite. He has no elite traits.
but he's
He's got an
average
oh,
at everything.
he's got a good shot. He's not an exceptional
He
skater.
showed
He's
off
not an
that
exceptional
release that
stick
other day.
handler.
I'm
His
not,
release is
his
fine, but
release is
again,
pretty
if his
good.
release was actually good, he'd score more than 10 goals a year.
Very fair. And he's been in the league how many years now? How many years has he been?
I don't know, dude. Dobson's been
Four?
here for 5, so Simon Holmstrom.
Dobson, this is Dobson's fifth year.
Yeah, but like
Simon
his first
Holmstrom came up in the 2023, 22-23 season.
He came up
So this
like
is his third
after
year.
the Eastern Conference Finals run and after that COVID
After
year that
that,
missed the playoffs.
After
Yeah,
that
okay, that
season,
makes sense. Yeah.
he came up to try to give us a bump because we
And
couldn't
Dobson
score.
was one of like his first year, he kind of had that like rookie year Pulock treatment where he was like not in the lineup a ton and
Yeah, he
in
played
and
like
out.
30 something games and then 40
Typical
something
defenseman
games.
rookie that's not like fully ready.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, again, I'm not a Holmstrom believer. If he wants to go on a Lafreniere type run this year, you won't find me complaining.
100-point player.
Yeah, shout out Laz. But no, I don't see it. Can I say something mean? Like, I think he's just like too ugly to be an elite player.
There's been ugly elite players.
But
We're
like,
not
I'm
going
just
to
trying
name
to
names,
think.
but there's been.
Name one.
The Dane O'Chara.
Okay, name like the forwards.
Forwards. Ugly good forwards. Marchand.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, dude, he's like okay. Like
He's
Holmstrom's got a face that only a mother can
got a
love.
beak that could be on the two kit the Fruit Loops box.
Bro, so do I, but I'm not like horrendous
No,
looking. I'm just saying, like Holmstrom's got like
I'm not
he's got
saying
a
he's atrocious, but like
bro,
I
Holmstrom's got
don't
a face for radio.
maybe he's going through that awkward stage is what I'm saying. Maybe
He's
he's got
24.
the good Swedish hair. He could come around. Look at
Dude, his
Lundqvist's
hair,
rookie year picture.
he doesn't even have crazy flow.
He's got good
I'm
hair.
sorry.
He's got good hair. He's got that blonde part thing going.
But listen, maybe we're figuring this out here. Maybe it's a confidence thing because he's just not good looking.
I've always thought it was a confidence thing with him, but he
So
does
it's a
look.
confidence thing with all, like even Wallstrom, you know, it's a conf, he's got a lot of talent, but it's probably a
Dude, you know
confidence.
what? I guarantee you, if he got veneers, he'd put up at least 20 goals.
Should we start a GoFundMe?
I think so, or just have I have the Islanders do it.
Yeah.
I think if the Islanders
Like a
got
little
Simon
Dropbox
Holmstrom,
at
I love
UBS.
this. I love this. This is we're cooking right now. If the Islanders bought Simon Holmstrom veneers, he'd be a 20 goal scorer automatically.
What was his career high? Like 12, 13? He had to eclipse 10 last year.
Let me
Well, yeah, and
check.
they were like most of them were shorthanded.
Yeah, they were all shorthanded.
No, the goals last year look a little bit different than the ones this year, which is why I'm hesitant to completely write him off. But he's got last year he had 15
And the thing,
goals.
but my thing with Holmstrom too is we don't need him to be a top six forward per se. If he could just be a solid third line player, I think we'd
Yeah,
all
but
be
you know what?
very
If he did become
accepting
a
of that.
top six forward, it would make trading Palmieri and Nelson much easier.
But he's probably not going to become a top six forward. Neither
Get him
are.
veneers and he will.
I don't think he's been years away from a top six role, but
I disagree.
all
And
right.
there's only one way to find out.
I think, all right, we'll work on it.
All right, we'll work on it. Any other Holmstrom takes, or should we get into some questions?
Questions.
All
Pull up
right,
some
who's got
questions.
him?
Let's start with Alex, who goes by Bardizzle12. Do you think the first line will stay together after Duclair and Barzal come back, or will Wah go back to the way they started?
No, it's going back.
It's
It's
going to
going
go back
back.
to the initial three, right?
Yeah,
Barzal,
absolutely.
Horvat, Duclair. I think Lee and Pageot kind of are having their Linsanity run with Horvat, where they're
Yeah.
looking good. As you know, they've done well, but as we've said, it's probably the clock's probably going to run out, and you just need to put your most talented players with your most talented players, in my opinion. Are we all in agreement on that? Does
We
anyone else
are.
want? We all agree.
Yeah, I
Thank you,
agree.
Alex.
Nothing's clicking at a crazy rate, so just go back.
All right. Coach Jeff 24 says, I'm a Horvat fan. The guy is a good two-way player and does a lot of important things in the ozone that don't show on the score sheet. Am I wrong in saying he needs to score goals at a much higher clip with all the injuries? Jack?
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking about I actually texted Phil about this yesterday. I'm surprised by how little fans are critical of him because he hasn't scored much this season and we've needed him to.
He's got five
But
goals.
yeah, but as Phil pointed
He's
out,
snake bitten, though.
his
If you watch
shooting
the games.
percentage, yeah, he's very snake bitten and his shooting percentage is extremely low that you just have to hope it comes around on the other side as the season goes on. I think he's one of the few players that deserves the benefit of the doubt from how hard he works. There's never a question of effort. I hope it starts going in for him. So yeah, he does have to score more, but I think the best way to go is just be a little patient.
Ethan.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he needs to score at a much higher rate. Obviously, you want to see him score at a little bit higher of a clip, but I feel like a lot of people forget when they tr the year they traded for him and Barzal got hurt towards the end for that last run. Like he was Superman. Like the guy was on the power play. He was killing penalties. Like, he was playing obscene minutes every
But
single
like
night.
Superman off the score sheet, doing things that don't
Exactly.
show
And I
up on the
feel
score
like
sheet.
that's sort of what he's doing right now, except the chances are there. So he's just got to bury him, but I'm not worried.
Yeah, as I think we're all pretty big Horvat fans here because as Coach Jeff said as well, he does a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the score sheet. But yeah, bottom line is he's getting 8.5 mil. He does need to bury. He does. That's just the bottom line. All right, next from Louis T180, who goes by Lane Lambert's burner. Is it worth holding out hope until we watch more than four games with a full squad? Seems like they're figuring something out in periods one and two, so only a matter of time until it's for the full 60.
I mean, listen, if you, the East is so bad that unfortunately the Islanders are going to be worth watching for a while until
Yeah,
they,
for sure.
even when they get their stars back. It's unfortunate. It is, because they're just simply not good enough to do some real damage, but the East is god awful. So
No,
they're going to stick
yeah,
around.
I agree. And I hate being a doomer. I'm a Rizzler guy. I like being on the boom side of things, but it does suck. It's like they're at such an in-between, and I just want this seesaw to teeter one way or the other,
We
and
got to
it
get
feels
AJ
like
and
it's
Big Justice to UBS.
just gonna be, oh, well, I think Rizzler showed up at MSG, which was
Yeah, that was for a Knicks game, though, right?
no, Rangers too.
Really?
Yeah, it was upsetting.
Shame.
It hurt me a bit. Anyway, Jack, you wanna?
Yeah, it's just crazy how this team is 9-10-6. 9-10-6 has never felt more like 3-11, though.
I
It is
agree.
just
Yeah,
insane the way they hang in this race all the time. It's just the way they lose. It just this season's made you want to pull your hair out, but somehow like they keep sneaking their way in this conversation. And I could see the positive fan saying, all right, like we're gonna get these guys back, we're gonna be objectively better, but it's so exhausting.
Well, it's one of those things too, as Ethan kind of said. If it was the typical Eastern Conference that was always a gauntlet, that you'd feel like they were out of it by now. But because you have like Eat Boston looks like shit, a couple other, teams I think might bounce back, not looking so great. Rangers, for example, really cold streak right now. The East as a whole doesn't look good, and that's probably what is going to keep the Islanders in it, at least in the short term, I would say.
Yeah, the NHL is one of those leagues where you have to usually be really good to make the playoffs, like at least 10 games over
Especially in the East,
500.
was it last year where the Islanders would have been like the sixth seed in the like fifth, sixth seed or something like that in the East when they were at the very bottom of the West making it last minute? Might have been the year before, but I feel like the last two,
Yeah.
3 years, the East was
No,
a
it's
good
got
bit
to.
stronger than the West,
They've
but this
gotten
year,
in with
not
like
the case.
93 points. Like, that is not normal.
Right. Okay. Next one is Pacers Nation YKT. Is there any possibility Lou trades either or both of Nelson and Palmieri?
Right now, no.
There's no chance.
The only way is if they ownership somehow is like, hey, like we you have to sell and you're gonna be done because, but as we know from Lou's history, if he himself is still in full control, he's 99.9% chance he won't sell. I don't think he's ever sold. I have to go back and look at this, but I don't think he was ever a seller at the deadline. He never had to with the Devils. He had a very short stint in Toronto and they were pretty bad. So they were kind of rebuilding Matthews year or whatever. So he couldn't sell there. But yeah, unless Lou gets some power stripped from him, I just don't see it.
I think re-signing Nelson would actually be a huge mistake. And it's actually for a weird reason, but the guy is going to eventually just decline naturally. He already has defensively, and he's getting older. And aren't you so tired of being an Islander fan and watching year 30 of a player on your team that
Well,
you
that's
used
the
to
argument, Jack. That's
appreciate?
the whole argument.
Used to appreciate the guy, love the guy, but like now you're watching him as a shell of himself when it was time to move on.
Make-A-Wish
It's
contracts.
just like we can't keep operating like that. It's not working, and we don't want to remember Nelson for age 36 to 39. So I think it would be really best to move off of him specifically. Palmieri, I think there's more of an argument for, surprisingly.
Yeah, and it's I don't I truly believe with the way this team is built, if this team had a GM and it was looked at with fresh eyes, I think he'd move both in a millisecond. He'd probably look to
Yeah,
start moving both now, to be quite
I
honest.
agree.
That's just my two
any
cents
other
on it.
GM, seriously.
And that's what I mean. Fresh eyes would just say these two have to go, and in the offseason, probably more are going. It's really what I think. But agreed. Lou, we have the one that wouldn't.
Yep.
How next many more one. We got? One, two, three, like five?
That's crazy. We're not doing all five. Pick one. Pick one.
One. Pick. Let's do a couple more. All right. Two more. I'll do Data Dom because he's always he really good posts and always around. Yeah. What will the bottom six look like when everyone is healthy? And what should the bottom six look like when everyone is healthy? Cizikas, McLean, Martin, and Wahlstrom have been awful. Fashing hasn't played much. Wah hates Engvall. I mean, I think we could break this down quick because we said we all believe that first line is going to be back intact. Let's say the whole team's healthy. What's the bottom six? The first line we agree is going to be intact. The Barzal, Duclair, Horvat. I think we'd all agree the second line would be Nelson, Palmieri, Siplikov. So who are the next six?
Lee, Pagel, Holmstrom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's line three. And then line four. Who are we bumping down though? I'm trying to think. Engvall is probably going to go.
Cizikas, McLean, Engvall.
Cizikas, McLean. But hold on. We didn't even touch on Cizikas. Cizikas has been one of the worst players.
I agree.
This
he's been awful. I just don't see him getting scratched.
No, I don't see him getting scratched, but he's one of the big issues as well.
I agree.
Yeah, he's been terrible.
He's lost like the step.
The
I think
obvious
he's lost
regression
the step.
That no one called out.
Right.
I kind of want to
just lost
Engvall.
A step. He's father time.
I kind of want to bump Engvall up instead of Holmstrom, to be honest, because we've seen Pagel, Lee, and Engvall work really well.
Who's got better scoring touch?
Engvall or Holmstrom?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's Holmstrom. I don't know why this is even like
two Swedish fish. It's not a ton.
Engvall's got zero scoring touch. Oh, it feels like all the pucks that go in are like by accident.
He'll just score. You know what it is with Engvall? He'll score that one sick one where you're like, oh, maybe it's coming out now. And then
then it's like most of the time, no. Fine. I mean, I disagree. I'd put Engvall up there and I'd put Holmstrom on the fourth line because someone needs to be very reliable on the fourth line. And I think at this point you can rely on Holmstrom to be better with Cizikas and McLean because both of them need help. And I don't think they're going to get it from Engvall more than they would from Holmstrom at this point because you know they're going to be freaking hemmed in all the time.
Well, my thing with that fourth line of McLean, Cizikas, and whoever else on the wing is it like McLean hasn't been at his best. Cizikas is a step slow, so it doesn't necessarily have the jam it used to on that bottom line. So I almost think they'd be best suited finding someone that had a little jam to put there, but they don't really have it anymore, which is kind of crazy because they always had that. I think we've discussed on this pod, they finally got a better top six and their bottom six went by the wayside. After years of having a very good bottom six and a very mediocre top six. We want to do one more?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one doesn't count, but Mr. 305 asks, when will the Isles House crew be back at UBS? We will, if we're all back together, we will definitely tweet and meet
Thursday.
Up with people. You're going Thursday?
I'm going Thursday.
All right. So message Ethan if you want to meet up. And then when we're all there, we were in the Heineken Terrace last.
Yep.
What game was that? Against the Wings. We were all there, met some people. Was nice meeting everyone. And I guess we'll do the last question from Chico Rush. Do you think Brock makes Team USA's Four Nations Cup roster?
Oh, good Lord. I don't even know what that is.
That's the tournament they're doing. It's like USA, Canada.
I don't care about that.
Well,
I saw a projection for it.
Would he make the roster, Ethan? Yes or no?
I don't know. Who? Is he
I'm gonna say
12 American forward right now?
So I'm going to say no, and it's not based off – it's not a shot at Brock. It's just a compliment to – USA's roster because they're loaded now. Like
bro,
12
hockey,
years ago,
hockey is
Brock,
our sport now.
Yeah, we're taking over. They don't even have a goalie.
No.
They were looking into getting Joey Decord on their roster, and apparently he doesn't even have a Canadian passport. So goalie's not looking good for them.
No.
He's not making it. And not Palms either, because I would put them kind of at the same level as far as chances to make it.
Who's
but I don't
coaching?
See either. Who's I want to is it Coop? Is it Cooper?
You know, the surprising part, I think Dobson played his way off of Team Canada.
Well, I think a good question, too, is would Barzal make Canada?
I don't know.
Maybe not because of, not right I think now. Pre-injury, yes. Post Horvat, Barzal, Dobson were all kind of cusp Canada guys. And maybe
Barzal
now all
it.
Non. Yeah, but with the injury?
Yeah, now I get it. John Tavares is the fourth line center at the athletic projection
that.
I'm looking at. They'd probably lean with the vet.
Yeah, Canada's up front. Canada's stupid good. I mean, so is USA, but Canada's like, it's like They could throw McDavid, McKinnon, and like Crosby on line one if they want.
Yeah. Well,
stupid.
But,
all right, boys.
Good episode. Follow us on Twitter at Isle's House. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Io's house.